Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Connell McShane, we normally go to for news and comment about the news of the day. Connell, I'll just let you ask me any questions you want me to answer about our Pope.
White Sox fan, huh? That was a little confusion yesterday. Well, the Cubs tried to get out ahead of it, and they were wrong.
I got this text. Cubs lying about the Pope being a fan is so funny. Like, that's the sort of thing that gets you a thousand-year curse. Do not mess with those powers that be. John Williams, the Chicago... You know, the interesting thing, Connell, and I will ask you questions. Pardon me for just going down this road. But I think one of the reasons that maybe America, and certainly Chicago, is so energized by this, besides just the locality of it all, the parochialness of it, is that you feel like you can relate to this human being that is a pope. A pope is a figure. It's somebody from Europe. It's somebody that speaks Latin and Italian, and you revere it, but you really can't imagine that guy playing tennis. And now we got a guy who almost surely has been to Quick Trip and Culver's and has at one point screamed at his TV about Rex Grossman. And those are the things we do. And to imagine that the Pope also has shared those experiences makes it so much more relatable and maybe powerful in that way, at least for Americans and certainly for Chicagoans.
Well, somebody tweeted out yesterday, thought it was funny that now finally, hey, we got a Pope who knows how to throw a baseball. So like maybe he'll throw out the first pitch at a game someday or something like that. You know, I think it actually goes a little deeper than that. And you're right, obviously, about how Americans many feel. Catholics, non-Catholics alike, I think, yesterday were energized by this. But the guy speaks, obviously, English and Spanish, Italian, French, Portuguese, and then reads in both Latin and German. So I think, you know, it's the whole world. Everybody that was coming on our show yesterday, almost to a man or a woman, would say something to the effect when you would ask about him being the first American pope that he was the least American among the American cardinals because he spent so much time in Peru, and that might have given him a leg up. So I think, you know, people around the world, there might have been, if it had been a different American, a different reaction. But it seemed like the reaction was largely positive, not only here, not only there in Chicago or here in America, but in many other places as well, which I thought was interesting.
Hey, John Williams, do you think the Pope knows Connor Bedard? I mean, we're just now mixing our celebrities over here. We got one great hockey player and we've got one local Pope. Do you think that the Cardinals were signaling with the selection of this Pope?
It's always tough to tell. I was watching a little bit of the American Cardinals. They had news conference, I guess, in the Vatican earlier today. And I think it was Cardinal Dolan from New York who made a comment when they asked him about whether there was some sort of a political signal I forget how the reporter phrased it, to either offset or counteract President Trump. And, you know, he said that he didn't think so necessarily. But what he did say, he went back. He didn't rule out the fact that sometimes those things happen. He said he thought when Pope John Paul II came in 1978 that you could argue that there was some sort of an action to counteract the rise of communism. And especially, you know, with the new Pope then being from Poland, that the Catholic Church was sending a signal. But he doesn't think that that's the case now. I mean, I don't know that we'll know or we'll ever know. It seems, if anything, my take on it is that they're, you know, Pope Francis appointed, I think it was like 80 of the 133 cardinals, something like that, and that that his influence, especially with where his priorities were, you know, helping the poor, helping people who really need it, that was the priority for many of the cardinals, that this Pope was, you know, from that side. Everybody should be on that side, I suppose, of the Catholic Church, but that's where his priorities were as well. So I thought it was more of that than whether he was American or some sort of a political message. But who knows? We'll never really know, probably.
Well, if that wasn't the intent, that is the effect. I think. I mean, you can't help but think about it in those terms, particularly when you consider some of the things that our vice president has said. Mm-hmm. And if the United States seems so transactional these days, and you all debate amongst yourselves if that's where we need to be, fine. But this is a papacy that will reflect the previous pope's vision or philosophy, and it is the opposite of that, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's always to me a point of emphasis rather than, you know, everybody was trying to put Pope Francis in this box that he was somehow an ultra-liberal pope. But, I mean, that's kind of laughable if you step back and think about what we define as, like, liberal and conservative in political terms, that the leader of the Roman Catholic Church who, you know, doesn't believe in things, you know, in a secular sense, at least, that would be considered liberal on issues like, obviously, abortion or even, you know, females' role in the church wasn't going against the church doctrine on any of those issues. It's a point of emphasis. His emphasis wasn't on, hey, let's argue about whether this guy should be eligible to get communion or this person should be thrown out of the church. His emphasis was on, you know, pulling everyone in, on being open, quote unquote, who am I to judge, all of that kind of thing. And
think
then, like I
that,
said earlier,
yeah,
helping the people who really need the help. I mean, and this is the same thing that this Pope, Pope Leo XIV, in his background has doing all this missionary work in Peru, that's where his emphasis is going to be, rather than getting into these, you know, kind of social arguments about who should be welcomed into the church that, you know, by definition says it's going to welcome everyone. That's what, you know, that's what the Catholic Church used to teach, and I think probably still does. And if you put the right emphasis on it, then this is the guy for the job, it seems to me at least.
We're talking to Colin McShane from News Nation. Give me a couple of minutes on tariffs and trade. The president made a big announcement about a relatively small, but we'll take what we can get, agreement with Great Britain. And then there was this relaxation, but not cessation, of tariffs with China. Just tell me what I should know about all of that.
Yeah, I think the UK, you've pretty much put it in the right framework. You get something on the board, nothing huge. It still has to be worked out, so don't overdo it. But don't underestimate the importance also of trying to get something in the public and hoping that it leads to more deals. Okay, now, with China, we had these 145% tariffs that effectively have frozen trade with China. They put out their export numbers, and what happened was interesting. Their exports to the United States plunged, but they've been able to work around that by selling more of their stuff essentially to other countries in Asia, in Europe, in Africa, so on and so forth. So Trump floated out a number today of 80%, going down from 145. I saw some analysis from, you know, independent analysts who say the number to get trade back up and running with China, it probably has to be under 60 or 65% tariffs, which are still very high, of course. But in other words, if you don't get under that, you're really not going to open up trade at all. And if the goal is to shut it off, that's one thing, but that's economically damaging, obviously. So you got to think that the president floating out the 80 is that first number going into the negotiations. Eventually we get under it, still high tariffs, I would think, historically speaking, but under that 60, 65% threshold, which might, you know, open up things for the global economy a bit. So we'll see. That's at least how I would read it, given what both sides are saying going in.
Were you surprised at his suggestion that there be one more graduated income tax bracket on the people making $2.5 million?
He was. It's funny the way he phrased that. Yeah, the $2.5 million is obviously a high number. So Democrats are going to want that bracket to be much lower if they do agree to, you know, not extend the tax cuts on the highest federal income bracket. So, you know, I think the number's in 600 and some odd thousand now for the highest bracket. So if they go to 2.5 million, you know, you have fewer households, obviously, that would be affected by that. But I thought it was funny the president said, well, you know, that's never such a good idea because they're going to hit you on the old George H.W. Bush, read my lips, don't raise taxes thing, and it's going to hurt politically. But then he said something to the effect of, but you know what, if they want to do it, I'm not against it, almost saying that, hey, I'm not running, this is on you guys next time, you know, if anyone's going to pay a price politically. So we'll see. I mean, it probably is easier for Republicans to sell that to their people, so to speak. Usually Republicans traditionally are against any kind of tax hikes, which this effectively would be for those people when you throw out a number like $2.5 million. So we'll see.
You know that saying, when you're a hammer, everything's a nail. And so every problem that the president faces, he says, all right, we'll tariff that, including the leader at Mattel saying something he didn't like. And he said 100% tariff on Barbies. 100% tariff on Hot Wheels. I mean,
you can only have three dolls now, as you know, so that's on.
You and I will talk next week, and we'll watch you again today on News Nation. Thanks for your time, Colin.
All right. Thanks as always, John.